Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Jennifer Zamparelli, 2FM. Good morning. So what would you do if you knew that following your heart meant turning your back on everything you knew? It's a choice that has faced so many people over the years, including my next guest. Jodie Chapman is a former Jehovah's Witness who has written about that experience in her new novel, Another Life. Jodie, you are very, very welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
It's great to have you. Now, there are a lot of themes in the book and we will talk about them a bit more. But for listeners who don't know, what are the differences growing up as a Jehovah's Witness as opposed to, let's say, mainstream Christianity?
So Jehovah's Witnesses are a Christian fundamentalist religion. And they, if you saw a Jehovah's Witness, they would look like everyone else. There would be nothing visibly that was different compared with people of other religions. Mm. But when you grow up as a witness, your entire life is shaped by the belief that the end of the world is coming any day. And so the door knocking, the ministry, which Jehovah's Witnesses are famous for knocking on people's doors and preaching about the Bible, that is something that Jehovah's Witnesses take very seriously. And generally, they do it on a very regular basis. They do it. I mean, I did it every single weekend when I was a kid.
From how young? And
From birth.
Oh.
I mean, you're out in most weathers, and it's entirely free. Like you don't get paid for it, so it's a voluntary work. But because you feel that the end of the world is coming any day, you see it as your responsibility to get out there and preach the word. So that belief informs every aspect of your life. So, for example, your education. You're expected as a witness to have the bare minimum of education. Going to university is extremely frowned upon, and you would probably be spoken to by the elders in the congregation if you did, because they believe that the end of the world is coming. They don't see any value in having a career, because really everything in this life should be about
the next
preaching
life.
That the end of the world is coming. Exactly.
What was it like calling around to people's doors telling them that you could save them?
Do you know, because I'd done it all my life, it's just what was normal to me. I didn't really know what to compare it to. I mean, I never really enjoyed it, I've got to say, because for the most part, the response that you get, there's a lot of apathy and people aren't interested. On occasion when you would have someone interested, that would actually be quite unusual. And I can count on one hand, really, seeing as I went door to door every single weekend of my life, I can count on one hand the number of times that I personally had a great conversation with someone. Most people are just very polite and they just say no thank you and close the door. But I mean, I didn't really enjoy it. I did just, as I was a kid, I wanted to just be at home watching morning TV and
being
not really doing it.
Of
yeah,
course,
exactly.
I get that. Yeah. I so get that. We have had guests from actual cults on the show, you know, from Orthodox Jewish backgrounds, people who have grown up in a closed community. And there is always a decision point for all of them. Can you talk to me about having kids was central to you deciding to leave?
Well, I had always had doubts. And when I say that they were doubts, they were just minor concerns, things that didn't quite sit right with me, certain parts of the doctrine, certain practices, certain rules.
Like what? Can you give me an example?
So I always struggled with the idea of patriarchy, and it is a very patriarchal religion because it follows the Bible. And I always struggled with that, because women in that world, in that life, are meant to be very meek and submissive. And those are qualities that just do not come naturally to me. I will say what I think, you know, albeit in a constructive way, but I'm not shy of having an opinion. And that didn't make me very popular a lot of the time with a lot of people. So I always struggled with that, because I had to try and dampen those parts of myself in order to try and fit in the world that I'd been raised in with everyone that I loved. So, for example, I found that very hard. And then for me, I mean, they were doubts that were, I just reasoned them to myself as being, well, you know, it is run by imperfect men and there's going to be certain aspects that aren't completely right. We can't expect perfection in this life. Mm. That will all be sorted out eventually. So you explain it away, because of course, everyone that I knew was in the faith. You're not encouraged to have friendships with unbelievers, and so you don't really have any links to the outside world. So the thought of just leaving, I did try and leave when I was a teenager, but it was made clear to me by certain members of my family that if I did, that they would cut me off. So I couldn't face that, so I stayed. But then when I had children, that fundamentally changed my thinking, because from that point on, I could not just coast along. Mm. And I was now responsible for teaching them the way to live. And I just couldn't see myself. You know, I still don't know what I believe, but I had enough thoughts about the faith and about the way of life that made me stop and think, because I thought, well, I can't automatically just pass this on to my children, because it's not a kind of fair weather faith. It's not a faith where you can live your life Monday to Saturday, however you like, and then go to church on a Sunday and that's it. It informs every aspect of your life. There is a rule, whether official or unofficial, for every single part of your life. And I thought, if I bring my children up in something that I have doubts about, that to me, I saw as almost a type of child abuse. I would be failing in my role as a parent if I did that. So as soon as I thought about it in that way, the decision was sort of made for me. And I remember thinking, well, Jodie, now you've got no choice. You kind of have to step away from it.
And Jodie, turning your back, as I said in the introduction there, on everything you knew, I mean, your family, your friends, that must have been a really difficult period of your life.
It was. It was extremely traumatic. It was the most traumatic thing I've ever been through. And some of my family members had already left the religion.
Okay.
So I do have some family members who are outside of it, but I still have some siblings that are still inside of it. And my mum is still in it. And my mum and I, we still have a good relationship. We just don't talk about religion. But my siblings who are in it have in effect cut me off, which is very sad. But I don't feel angry about it, because they think they're doing the right thing, because I grew up in that world, so I know how the thinking goes, and you have to have black and white thinking in that life. So I know that they're not, it's not their intention to be nasty to me. They actually think that by cutting me off, I'm more likely to come back to it, because I will want to be with them again. So it's very painful, but I actually started writing the book as a way of distracting myself from the pain of going through that rejection.
But I love this, so, because in the book, sorry to cut you off there, but it must have been difficult in a way, but you write about the religion in a very respectful way rather than an angry way.
Yeah, that was really important to me, because I don't feel angry about it. I feel that there are certain parts that I would be justified in feeling angry about it. And the fact that my family feel that they can't have me in their life, that they're encouraged by the faith to disown anyone who leaves. So that would justifiably make me feel angry about it. But at the same time, I don't want to feel angry, because I'm now living very consciously and I'm loving my life. Mm. So to be consumed by anger, I think firstly, all it would do is it would play into the narrative that witnesses have. And I used to think exactly the same, that people who left were angry, were full of bitterness, were full of resentment. And so my anger would just fuel that false narrative. And also all it would do is it would just eat me up. And I need to be loving my life. I'm embracing my life, what I feel like, for the first time. Because Jehovah's Witnesses believe that they're never going to die. They believe that the end of the world is coming any day, and that they will pass through Armageddon and God will remake the earth into a paradise and they will live on it forever. So for the first time in my life, I'm stepping away from that. In a way, I'm sort of embracing my death and my mortality. And it's so strange to talk about it, but I actually find that really uplifting, because I realize that I have a finite amount of time left and that it's down to me to enjoy the time that I have and to be the best possible parent for my children.
You're probably living in the moment a lot more, knowing that you are going to die and, you know, coming to that realization that there is an end of some sort. And it's probably made you more present with your kids, I suspect, and your family and your life.
It really has, because as a witness, you do feel you're on a bit of a treadmill, because this is just, this life is just a stepping stone to the next one. This isn't really your real life. Your real life will be immortality. So I am much more conscious about my life and I'm not on autopilot. And it feels like, I've compared it like this before, it feels like the scene at the end of The Truman Show where Truman touches the studio wall and he has a choice. He's told by the TV director, he hears the TV director's voice saying, you know, stay, we'll look after you here. You don't know what's out there. At least you know what's going on in here. Just stay here. And ultimately Truman leaves because he wants to find out for himself what feels truthful. And that's how I feel. And I feel just like every single day is a gift. And instead of just thinking that these are my automatic rights, you know, oh, well, I'll keep my family close, we're going to have immortality together. You rely on that so much that it stops you living from day to day. And I don't do that anymore. It's lovely.
This might sound like a weird question, but has leaving the witnesses made you a better writer?
Oh, I don't know about that, because actually what all the time I was a witness, I didn't really do any writing. So I loved writing stories when I was a kid and I wanted to be a journalist when I left school, but I was talked out of that by the elders in the congregation. And then I stopped writing for years because I always wanted to write a book, but I knew that I couldn't write anything contemporary that touched on sex or swearing because it would just be so shocking to my community. So I kind of saw those years as sort of my life, you know, I was getting copy, I was experiencing everything and just soaking it all up. And then that's partly when I decided I wanted to write a book, I started writing a historical romance because I thought, well, I could write a story then without having to deal with anything shocking. But the book itself was just not good, the novel that I wrote. So it was so bad because I was not being honest. It was a smokescreen. I wasn't being honest in my writing. So the writing Another Life was, I mean, it was wonderful. It was so therapeutic because obviously it was a creative project that was distracting me from the reality of stepping away from everything I knew. But also I just poured into there. I mean, the main character in there, Anna, she's not me. There are elements of me in her, but I put a lot of my experience in there of the conflict that I felt when I was a teenager, for the feelings that I would have for unbelievers, which is forbidden. You cannot have a relationship with an unbeliever. You're not even meant to have friendships with them. So I poured a lot of that in there. And that was that was very cathartic doing that.
Well, it's an amazing book, a great read. Jodie Chapman, thank you so much for joining me today to talk about your life and your work. I wish you the very best of luck in whatever you do and keep writing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jodie. Bye. There we go. Now, Jodie's book, Another Life, it is out now. It is a great read. Go and check it out. We'll be back right after this. Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.